Good day and welcome to our series PR and Communications. And today we're going to be recording a session on getting started with PR and Communications in your business. I'm Catherine Young. For those who have not met me yet on the MBA, I'm the owner of Thinkroom Consulting. I have extensive corporate experience and then took the big leap about 4 years ago starting my own business and have been having loads of fun, loads of sleepless nights and enjoying every minute. But more importantly, our guest in studio today. Welcome, Ashley.
Thank you, Catherine.
I'm so excited to have you. Can you please just introduce yourself to the audience to start?
With pleasure. I'm the communications lead for Microsoft South Africa. I have been in role for about 4 years, managing the brands across our portfolio. I've got about 18 years experience as a communications and marketing manager across various different local and global brands.
Fantastic, Ashley. I'm excited about today's session, specifically as we're often scared of PR and communications and how to do it and how to do it best. Also speaking as a business owner. So before we start, can you just give us an overview? We're talking about public relations, PR. What is it?
Very simply put, it is about managing your brand reputation.
Right.
A lot of the time you'll say, okay, so what's the difference then between advertising, marketing, and PR?
Exactly.
Because essentially all of them are about brand reputation. The key differentiator with PR is that what you're trying to do is get advocacy from third-party endorsers and third-party influencers. So maybe let me give you a practical example.
Yes, that would be great.
If you think about a young man and a young lady dating,
right,
an advertising scenario for you would be they arrive at the date, the young man would sit there and say, so I've got a Porsche outside, I've got X, Y, and Z amount in the bank account.
Right.
It's all I.
Right.
The marketing scenario would be young man and the young lady sit down. The gentleman would ask the lady a little bit about herself, would talk and kind of enhance her and who she is, her intelligence, the things that he sees important about her, and try and find that common match that they can speak the same language.
Right.
And then the PR aspect would be that before the date actually happens, the young man would go and elicit from his different or from her friends that they might have in common.
Right.
And get them to tell her what a fantastic, fabulous, amazing guy is before they even arrive at the date. So that she's coming there with a preconceived perception that he hasn't said, the third party have endorsed
it. Actually, that is a lovely way of explaining it. Actually, I'm getting it right. So what you're saying, there are three things, advertising, marketing, PR. On advertising, it's all about me, I, and explaining what it is I can do. Mm-hmm. With the marketing, you tell the other person a little bit, make them feel good about what it is that they're hearing. But the third one, PR, is third parties actually tell the story.
Exactly.
That is fascinating. Exactly. And is this the premise that all companies are really following when they get to do PR?
I would say that there's probably gray areas between each.
Yeah.
And there's often a merge over between your different aspects.
Yes.
I think a lot of companies always say PR is the free advertising.
Yeah.
I'd say not correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're different disciplines with different objectives.
Got it. Okay. So where do we start?
I think the starting point is always about your business.
Right.
Okay. And understanding why your business makes a difference in the world of your consumers or your customers.
Right.
Previously, companies always want to start with the what. Yeah. What do you do?
Yes.
The reality is that people connect with the why you do something.
Mm.
So if we take Microsoft as an example,
the
why we are in business is to empower every person and organization on the planet to achieve more.
Yes.
The what we do is a productivity and platform company.
Got it.
For the cloud first, mobile first world.
Got it.
So you start with your elevator pitch.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And that starts firstly with explaining why you're in business.
Right. So for those who don't know the term elevator pitch, this is your short bit of what you say to explain what it is, right?
So, exactly.
Yes.
So, I mean, you're talking about it. The concept is that you've got what maybe a minute maximum as you go from one floor to the next floor, and you might meet somebody in the elevator and they say, what do you do?
Yeah.
You've got that very short, concise moment to pitch what your business is and for somebody to be interested in that.
Right.
So you need to make it engaging. You need to talk to the why of the business. You need to make it a memorable story.
Yes.
It's not memorable if you just list the products you do, but if you think of who your audience is, who you're talking to, just by seeing them, and you explain what your business is on that level, you've suddenly started that engagement at an elevator pitch.
Right.
Very key to an elevator pitch is a call to action.
Right.
So,
can you give me an example?
So, let me use Microsoft as an example.
Yes.
If I was trying to look at Microsoft in terms of an elevator pitch, I would first start by saying Microsoft is an organization that is really trying to empower every person and organization on this planet to achieve more.
Yes.
We do this essentially in three ways. We do it by building an intelligent cloud. We do this by reinventing the way that people can be productive and the business processes that they have to follow. And we do it by more personalized computing.
Yes.
Now, if you want to really be successful as an individual and a person in the world that we live in now, which is around cloud, it's around mobility, and it's about being cloud first and mobile first together, then let's talk and let's understand what it is that your needs are and we can help you be more successful in that world.
Ashley, I think that's honestly one of the best elevator pitches I've heard. I'm almost wanting to say to you, so how can we do this, right? Mm. Because my question is now, okay, you've actually explained a why to me. Now what can I do? So is that the call to action you're talking about?
That's the call to action is around the what you can do with us.
Yeah.
It's also around the what we can do for you.
Yes.
So explaining a little bit about the cloud, the devices, and getting the story out there, but starting with the why. Why should I engage with you?
Correct.
What is it that you can do for me?
Fantastic. So I know we also spoke about the key messages, right? Mm. Talk to me about key messages. I know there's this thing about tagline versus slogan, etc.
Okay. What happens, and let's start again with the advertising, marketing, and PR world.
Right.
In the advertising world, you've got about a 20-second, 30-second period to capture somebody's attention.
Right.
So you need to keep it very clean, very simple, one message.
Yes.
In the PR world, you've got different channels and mechanisms for talking. And what you want to do is build the messages out that speak to your brand.
Right.
So Microsoft, again, is an example. The brand is around empowering.
Yes.
So what are the messages or the key things that you want to say about your business that will talk to empowering? It often talks to the values and the vision of your business.
Yeah.
It often talks to some of the memorable sound bites that you have.
Right.
So a sound bite is a short little bit of information that can quickly
remind
you and help explain. It's a memorable little snippet.
Yes.
It's not about taglines and slogans. They have to be based in facts. We work in a world, in order to get a third party to endorse you, they've got to be able to have the facts and a factual-based conversation.
Yes. Yes.
And it needs to be something that your audience or your stakeholders in your business care about.
Okay.
Because if they can't relate to the message, then they're not going to endorse it or understand
it. So that's fascinating. So the focus is almost on the audience and whether they'll connect with that, and then you get your why through that way.
Exactly.
That is fascinating.
Exactly. Start with your audience understanding.
Yes.
Start with who is your audience, what are their needs and requirements.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
I always believe that your communications objectives are founded in your business objectives.
Yes.
What are you trying to do as a business? How do you drive your communications objectives from that?
Right.
Then start audience.
Right.
If that's our business, that's our comms objectives, who is this audience?
Got it.
And the audience is broad often.
Yeah.
There's different stakeholders that you often need to manage. You might have public affairs issues, in which case you've got government stakeholders. It might be your customers, as an obvious one. Your suppliers.
Yes.
Another very obvious one.
Yeah.
Your internal audience is often forgotten.
Yeah.
Your internal audience is a brand ambassador for you.
Yeah.
Are they speaking the same language?
Yeah.
Are they able to deliver an elevator pitch? Are they able to provide a compelling story when they're sitting in front of a customer, a potential customer? Mm. So these are your audiences. The more specific you can be in describing your various audiences, the better your communications plan.
And
will
your messages change from audience to audience?
They could change depending on your objective.
Right.
So you will have a core bucket of messages.
Right.
And depending on what your objective is with your audience, you will pull on that message to share.
Got it.
But what you don't want to do is have 26 messages about your organization and try and go out with different ones. You normally have about 4 or 5 key messages. And depending on the audience, there'll be two or three that goes into the audience.
Absolutely fascinating. So what I'm hearing you say is make sure you understand what your audience wants to hear and talk to them in that way. But what does all this communication include?
Okay, there are different channels for communicating. Okay. There are different ways.
Okay.
Okay, we often refer to it as owned, paid, and earned.
Owned, paid, and earned. Okay.
So owned is the assets that you have and the channels that you can manage and control.
Right.
Websites, social media, blogs, direct emailers.
Yes.
Okay. Your paid assets are where you're paying to be part of a channel. It could be an advertorial. It could be a sponsored section.
Right.
Of a broader editorial.
Right.
It could be a corporate profile as an example. Your earned is, for example, in traditional media, that probably the best way to do it is where you've worked on a relationship and an angle with a journalist.
Yeah.
They have taken that as a valid story that's relevant to their audiences and they've published it in the paper.
Yes.
So you haven't paid for the space.
Yeah.
You don't own the space. You've influenced a journalist or an influencer to drive that story for you. Social media. Huge space there where you need to kind of target your influencers and try and get them to tell your story for you.
Okay.
You earn the right to be on their channel.
Okay. And would you use all three channels?
Yes.
Yeah.
Try and get a mix, obviously depending on your budget.
Yeah.
But the right mix and trying to get the right mix is always often. Your own channels, you can tailor your message. You can control your message. Mm. Your paid channels, control your message, but obviously there's a cost to it and it would be budget dependent.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your earned channels is you don't actually own every word that's said, so you have to structure your message quite carefully, but they've also got to write, the person who's writing it or owns that channel that they're writing on, has got a right to put their spin on it.
That's right.
And perspective on
That's right. And do they typically get you to first read that before they publish, or does that not always happen?
You can't always have that expectation in the media world. You can ask, depending on your relationship with the journalist. Sometimes if it's quite a technical story that they're writing, they do want your insight into it.
Yeah.
But honestly, they don't have to.
Yes.
They don't have to. Yes. It's their right. They're a journalist.
Yes.
They can report on it.
Okay. So relationshiping is key.
Relationship is very key.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a world of relationships and angles. Mm. Make sure you've got the right story for their audience. You've got good, strong content, and you've got a good relationship with the journalist.
I am fascinated by this. It's you're almost simplifying it in a way that it's not this big monster, you know, of working with journalists and talking with journalists.
I always say we do a sales job.
Yeah.
Just like you sit in front of a customer.
Yeah.
You sit in front of a journalist.
Yeah.
You build a relationship with them. You're honest, open, straightforward with them. And it's exactly the same. Mm. I do sales.
Exactly.
I sell stories.
Yeah. I love that. I sell stories. I love that. So Ashley, how do we... So let's now assume I want to build a communication strategy. Mm. How do I do that?
We started talking about it a little bit, and I think the first thing is to really define and understand what your business objectives are,
right,
and what are your communications objectives to achieve that.
Right.
The next step is obviously your audience, identifying your different audiences and understanding your audiences. What is it that drives and motivates that audience?
Yes.
Okay. What are your goals and objectives with that audience?
Yes.
And you always talk about SMART goals.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
Don't bit airy-fairy, wishy-washy, like, I want to own the consumer audience.
Right.
Okay?
Yes.
It needs to be realistic. It needs to be measurable. Yeah. It needs to be achievable. It needs to be in a time frame.
Yeah.
So within this time frame, I want to have engaged or open doors with X, Y, and Z. On my internal side,
yes.
I want to have achieved this.
Yes.
I often sometimes see media as an audience. Sometimes I see them as a channel to an audience. You can look at it in two ways. Different comms people will look at it differently.
Right.
Identify your deliverables.
Yeah.
What is it that you're going to be able to do? We always say in the world of PR, content is king. And having good, strong content is what is going to drive your PR strategy.
Right.
Okay. So have your storyline, your storyboard. What is it that you want to say to your audience? What is the content that you're going to deliver on the back of it?
Yeah.
And I think as we go down the series, you'll see that the series will help with trying to drive the content that you deliver for different channels.
Right.
What is your timeline for it? In terms of seasonality of the business, in terms of seasons that are happening,
yes.
tapping into things that are happening in the outside
right.
world.
Right.
And then very importantly, and this goes back to understanding your audience, what are the channels that you're going to use?
Yeah.
So what are the mediums that your audience is consuming that you can share your content on?
Right.
And then it's about taking your content and tailoring it for those
for
channels.
For that channel, yes.
And driving your objectives in that
Very
way.
Very interesting. So a communication strategy, how often do you have to do it?
Strategy
yeah.
should be done less than a plan.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So your strategy is always your fundamentals and your basics.
Yes.
A communication strategy, you should, what are your business objectives? Who are your audiences? That's something that's
yeah.
relatively inflexible.
Right.
Your messages might be tweaked, but you don't want to change your messages continuously.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you want repetition.
Right.
What does often change and needs to be fluid is your plan.
Right.
Because it needs to be able to respond to what's happening in the market.
Got it.
Respond to what is happening with your audiences.
Got it.
A good grasp of communications is something that is making it relevant in the broader world.
Yeah.
Your message becomes relevant to a broader
yes.
context of what's going on.
Yes.
As opposed to you just talking about your brand values.
Got it.
It's relating it to what's happening in the outside world.
Yes. So what I'm hearing you say is keep track of what's happening out in the marketplace. Mm-hmm. Make sure that your messages are aware and keep tabs on mm-hmm. that. But you through that, you continue to execute on your strategy.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Exactly.
You've just demystified something else for me. That's absolutely awesome. So measuring return on investment is always a big piece of discussion, right?
Yes.
But honestly, are there ways to measure ROI in PR?
There are a number of ways.
Right.
There are different schools of thought on
yes.
it. So an older fashioned one was measuring what we called advertising value equivalence.
Right.
Okay, so
right.
that was also referred to as AVE.
Right.
And essentially what you would do is you would take the piece of PR or the piece of content
yes.
that you had
yes.
and you would equate it to the space that you would have had to pay from an advertising perspective.
Right.
So if I'd had that as an advert, I would have paid 10,000
right.
Rand.
Right.
Then the belief is that because PR is a third-party endorsement,
yes.
the power of
yes.
the message is stronger.
Yes.
So very simplistically, they say either multiply it by 3, some people like to multiply by 9.
Yes, okay. yes.
But that is quite antiquated because
right.
that worked quite well in the world where you had your print and you had your column
yes.
centimeter and you had your airtime.
Yes.
I think with the advent of social and digital
yeah.
channels,
yeah.
you need to be a little bit broader and wider thinking.
Right.
And what we're starting to look at is things like share of voice.
Yes.
So versus your competitors, what is your overall share of voice?
Right. Right.
We break it down into key influencers.
Yeah.
And we look at, say, these are our top 25 influencers in our space. What is our share of voice versus competitors there? What is the sentiment towards your brand in the space? Is the comms that is happening favorable, unfavorable? What is the percentage? How do you measure that? How are people engaging with your message.
Yes. And so are there tools to measure the sentiment?
There are. Yeah. Well, we work with an agency that does it called Gorkana.
Yeah.
If you look at something like our CRM online solution, the Dynamic CRM online, they've got a built-in social measurement channel. Which can help you measure, and it's digital actually, it's not just your social, it's your digital, and it measures, it tracks for you what's happening. You can pull reports around the sentiment, you can pull reports around share of voice, things like that. And it's actually a very nice solution, the CRM online for small business.
Right.
So possibly something to look at.
So for the small business owners, remember that CRM online, I've just learned this, that there's a tool to monitor not only social but digital as well. So let's look into that.
And then you've got your analytics that are built into some of your social media tracking, and you can draw reporting from your social media tools that you use.
Right. So the ultimate goal then, what would you call that?
It's about managing and growing your brand perception. Mm. Okay. Mm. So we always talk in a brand world of being known.
Yes.
Then you want to be known for something.
Yes.
You want to be known for something good.
Yeah.
Known for something good that I want to be a part of, and known for something good that I want to tell others about.
Wow.
And it's about taking people through that pyramid and that journey with your brand.
Wow. So they talk about your brand ultimately.
Exactly. And they talk about it in the way that you want them to.
Yes.
Because you're known for something good.
Yes. That is absolutely fascinating. Ashley, I've learned about PR, honestly, today. And please make sure to catch the other modules in the series that we're shooting on PR and communications. There's some further resources that we want to send you to. Please go. You'll see on the screen that there's prpowerhouse.co.za. There's some interesting information there. Go look at lumadvx.co.za, as well as the media update website. And then, of course, on Biz for Africa, we've got some fascinating information there on PR. Ashley, in closure, are there any last thoughts you want to leave organizations with when they think about PR and communications for their businesses?
Be realistic. Be honest. Be open. Don't be scared.
Mm.
It's not a baffling world.
Mm.
You're still dealing with people.
By being honest, it makes it easier, right?
You're honest and you're authentic. Open and authentic, you can't go wrong.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. I hope you enjoyed that as much as I have. Make sure not to miss any of the other modules in this series. Until next time, thank you. Bye-bye.